CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. All right, everybody. What's happening? We got Pumi and I are ready to go this morning. Look at us.
Good morning,
Pums. How are you?
Good morning.
Are you good?
It's a good morning.
I'm very, very happy to hear that. You got to start your day with the right attitude, right? I mean, no one's going to do it for you.
I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to have the good attitude.
Yeah.
All got to come from inside out.
There we go. How does change, what is it, that old joke about the guy and the Buddhist beggar, and the Buddhist beggar sitting outside and says, spare any change, and the guy looks at him and goes, "You're a Buddhist, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Well, change only comes from within." It is like that. Of course, that would not happen in most modern American cities. So I don't know where the joke originated, but it couldn't have been there. All right.
Listen. Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Almost like very close to a long weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got Monday off because it's Heritage Day. Heritage Day.
Heritage.
Well, I love Heritage Day because actually it's one of the days that doesn't have a whole lot of like political stuff attached to it. And not that I mind that, because I think a holiday is a holiday, right? But it seems like one where, yeah, we can learn a little bit about the symbols and about all that stuff, and like just take a moment to be a little South African.
And
which even for me is, you know, becoming increasingly difficult.
And hopefully it'll be like a good one, because it'll be after South Africa Island.
Oh, now that's on Saturday night.
Is that Saturday night? So not we'll, Sunday morning.
So if it doesn't go well on Saturday, which it should do, I mean, we're up against Ireland. They're the world's number ones. Listen to me talking like I know about sport. But if it goes well, obviously we'll be in a very good mood for the Sunday. And then we've still got a bonus on the Monday.
Hey.
But if it goes badly, we can always use the Sunday to recover. And then the Monday comes along and we can have that.
So I'm so glad you said it's on Saturday night, because I wouldn't have known. And I would have, like, Sunday would have been looking forward to the game. This also happened to me this past Sunday.
No, you would have missed it.
I was looking forward to the game. And Sunday morning I phoned a friend of mine who's the only reason I know what happens in rugby.
Yeah. That's like Ben for me.
She took me to my first rugby game ever. She is like, she's the rugby person in my life. So I phoned her up and I said, because I thought it was, rugby starts at 4, right?
Yeah.
She says, "No, not World Cup rugby." She said, "Put it."
All different times. Yeah. And different times. I mean, there was a match on last night when I was having supper. Uruguay, Italy. I didn't watch the...
I'm glad, because I would have missed it.
No, that's it.
I got to watch that game last Sunday and the one after that. So I also watched the game with Australia and Fiji.
You have been busy. Fiji clapped Australia.
For the first time in like 59 years.
Great. The Australians had a terrible weekend because we also beat them in the cricket. But you know what? This is nice. We've got a little long weekend. It's a good time of year to have a long weekend. Mm. No point having that in the middle of winter. No one wants it.
Mm.
Right? And then Conga Chris says Wednesday is payday as well. Ka-ching.
Oh,
except if...
We have no idea about these things.
Yeah, if you're like Pumi and I, then...
We work for ourselves.
Payday means you actually pay other people on that day.
And it generally tends to put you in a bad mood.
Yep. Especially when you look at how much is left after you've paid people and you're like,
that's
all we've got? It's not great. All right. So we have a busy show for you this morning. We have the Burning Platform a little bit later on, which is going to be as fiery as ever. I'm going to be talking about a lot of very, very cool and interesting things with a guest who we've had on before, who doesn't hold back. He's very happy to talk about lots of different things. And we've got so many stories in the news that are worth looking at too. So his name, of course, is Rob Hutchinson. You may remember him from Dear South Africa. He founded it. I don't think he's involved there at all anymore, but he wants to talk about lots of stuff, including the Road Accident Fund, which is a disaster. Pravin Gordhan's new state-owned company, which is also a disaster before it's even begun. New electricity laws And elections, candidates, blah, blah, blah. All the usuals in that part of the discussion.
But there's a lot going on. So
yeah.
Also, I'm very excited to talk to Rob because with all that has been going on with everybody and talking about who funds NGOs,
yes,
I'm sure he's got a lot to say about that.
Absolutely. And these NGOs, there's some shadowy stuff going on in the world of NGOs. You know, everybody always thinks they're
Do you have one?
No, I'm good. They always think that the NGOs are these benign, you know, kind of, oh, we'll just lurk in the background and do charity work. That's not how it goes. Everybody who's ever worked with NGOs knows that there's very often an angle with these organizations. And where do they get their money is the most important question.
Like all people, like all people who give change. They are motivated from within for whatever reason that they are motivated by.
Correct.
But I do think that there's a dangerous conversation that's happening in South Africa at the moment about that.
Yeah, and there's some shadowy people in the background trying to manipulate and influence things in not necessarily a positive way. If it was a positive way, we'd say, great, come on down. People of this country need help from all over because it's not necessarily totally possible from just within. Mm. Am I right? Okay, so there is a bit of a theme going on here. Also, Lynn Joffe will be talking to us a little bit later on. Lynn's a nutcase. I mean, I can say that with love. She's been invited to represent South Africa at the Gothenburg Book Fair, which is in Sweden. It's quite a big deal. She's going with Zeksemda, who we love, Ntabiseng Jaroze, Jafta, Refilwe Mwahloli, and Sihle Isipho Nontshokweni are all going. So I wonder what she has to say about this. She's written a book called The Gospel According to Wanda B. Lazarus, and we'll find out about what's going on there at the Gothenburg Book Fair and just how all of these talents from our part of the world are going to be represented.
Listen, Zeksemda is one of my favorite writers.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite writers, but he's also very funny on Twitter.
Oh, I haven't been on Twitter for so long that I've forgotten that he was on there. Well, I mean, he's a writer. Of course he'd be good on Twitter.
He is very funny on Twitter. And yesterday he was part of a really bizarre interaction because Sowetan Live had a headline which had one wrong word, which could or could not have been what they were aiming for, but then they changed it. So I don't know if you saw that Basetsane and Romeo Khumalo were in this 5 years long fight with the writer, Jackie Pamotzi, and they won a defamation.
Oh, really?
Case. Okay.
Oh, really?
And the sub headline on the Sowetan Live website said deformation.
Deformation. Oh, my God. So hang on a second. I don't know about this
There's
case.
There's so many going on.
So what?
So many things.
So what happened?
Kuningi. Baba.
So what happened with, what did this journalist say about Romeo and Basetsane?
I don't think Jackie is a journalist, but about 5 years ago, there was a Twitter outrage.
Mm.
She wrote a tweet about a certain media personality who, overhearing a phone call between one of her girlfriends and this media personality who was begging the girlfriend not to release a video of the husband of the media personality in a compromising situation with another man. We don't know who the other man was. It's all very weird. It's all very weird and it's 5 years old.
Oh, so she was casting aspersions.
And I don't quite know how it all came down because I do remember slightly the tweets. But I don't remember anyone being named. But I do remember it descending into the dumpster fire that only Twitter can descend into.
Yeah.
And it being about Romeo Khumalo and Basetsane. And so they...
So what's the...
They've won.
What's the fine? How much are they going to have to pay?
We don't know because it's actually a crim injuria.
Oh. I don't think they... You see, we have very small... settlements in these sorts of cases. The court never orders like the millions and millions of dollars that
This one had five counts And one of them was the Crim and Jurya one, but there was also a...
Well, Crim and Jurya, you won't get any money because that's a crime.
A crime.
So someone could go to jail, for example. Hey. Right.
And there was also a...
But so is it Crim and Jurya and defamation?
And defamation. Wow. And a contempt of court.
Oh,
because
wow.
Because there was some kind of interdict against her publishing a book, which she went ahead and published. And so there'll be a sentencing in a couple of weeks.
Now, you know what's going to happen. Because two private individuals have won against a journalist or a publication, even if she's not a journalist, the media are going to start screaming, media independence, look, they're locking down on us. This is going to go chill the conversation.
Except for the fact that the Khumalos are a little bit of like a sensational couple that everybody loves.
Of course they are, but you
and
know what's going to happen.
No one likes Jackie.
Sure. So here's the thing, that you're going to have media types screaming and shouting, oh no, this is an infringement on our rights as the Fourth Estate. It's going to chill the conversation. In the meantime, it's about bloody time that journalists were held to account for what they say. You know, freedom of speech. Freedom
Jackie
of speech doesn't
journalist.
Mean you're free from consequences. It doesn't matter. The Sowetan published. It's under their aegis that she published, right?
No. So it was just their headline, which was the.
So are they being fined as well, or is it just her in her personal capacity?
Just her in her personal
Great.
Capacity.
Great. Then go after her. She deserves whatever happens.
So it'll be a fascinating thing to watch. It obviously set new precedents for
okay.
us.
Zita says, I don't know how she lost that case.
I wish I knew what transpired in court.
Well, don't worry. I mean, it's court. You could probably find out.
It's a magistrate's court.
You can't
the
find
magistrate,
out?
I don't think
no
the
one's
magistrate
reporting.
Court gets that kind of like...
Well, it's a little
they
bit,
don't go into Cephal, is that website where you can go and read judgments and all of that
it'll
stuff.
It'll be reported, surely. Involves these two very famous people. Anyway, all right, so we got lots to talk about this morning. Let's begin, shall we, with some news. I don't
Always.
Know. I kind of have a weird, like a thrill mixed with a feeling of anguish over this story. Because a South African Revenue Services building, a SARS building in Marshalltown, caught fire on Wednesday afternoon. Oh, no. Oh, no. SARS?
More fires. What are they burning?
Listen.
Is what I want to know.
The mayor's office is uninhabitable at the moment. The municipal building in Johannesburg, we were talking about just yesterday. And Bagabantu even said, sorry, it was on Tuesday. He even said he works opposite there and it's just closed.
Really?
Yeah. So
the one on Rissik Street?
Yeah. So here's another one. South African Revenue Service building in Marshalltown caught fire on Wednesday afternoon. The Joburg Emergency Management Services and firefighters were on Wednesday afternoon responding to a building on fire at Frederick and Rissik Streets in the CBD. No further information available. This is just unbelievable. So the city of Johannesburg had to move out of its offices in Braamfontein because of faulty transformers over the weekend. Also a fire at an evidently hijacked building known as Delvers Close in the CBD. No fatalities. But what is going on in the CBD?
This
Johannesburg has become a complete dump.
I don't know if it's what is. You know what also happens, right? Is something big like the fire that happened a couple of weeks ago happens. And then all of a sudden, all the news agencies have like their eyes trained on fires. Because remember when there was the gas explosion in Benoni? And then for 3 weeks straight, like a person's gas canister would blow up in their house and we'd read about it in the paper.
So it's that.
I think we're in a.
What do they call it? That reticular activation system. So basically when if I tell you about red cars, that's all you're going to see. You'll go, oh, wow, look at how many red cars there are, because I've made you aware of it. So now the journalists and the news
all
outlets.
Those cutes.
Right. Yeah. The bajajas. All I see is bajajas now, because we talk about it on this bloody show every time. Now I'm getting people sending me bajajas on.
Flipped over. Bajajas flipped over.
In all kinds of places and positions. Anyway, I mean, it is just, I am concerned because the Johannesburg CBD seems like it really is falling apart.
Mm. Sugar Shabalala talks about the Charlotte Maxeke fire at the hospital, remember?
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember that. It almost burnt down the whole hospital.
We're in
So, I mean, you gotta watch this because we shouldn't have this many fires. I know that accidents happen. But do you think that there's something more nefarious going on?
I think so.
Who? What? Who would it benefit?
Remember there was an arsonist here in Joburg, in Melrose. There was an arsonist.
Who was this? And what? I didn't know about it. There's an arsonist?
There was an arsonist here in Melrose. Of course, it was only in the Sandton Chronicle that they spoke a lot about it.
Well, no wonder you're the only one who knows about it.
There was an arsonist and he was caught. There were a couple of like fire sit.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was his motivation? We never found out? Jeez, we just really don't. We don't follow through with anything in this country. We don't ever ask the important questions.
This is what happens with the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, you don't ever get into a story, right?
You hear it three times in a row, 24 hours, and then move on to the next thing.
This really worries me. Slippery Pickles is in Durban. There's always some place or another on fire. They reported each of them. You'd never get to the actual news.
Really?
It's very sad. Sun Marie says Summit Restaurant in Pretoria was also on fire yesterday.
Hey, I saw that on Twitter. I saw that on Twitter and I wondered, isn't Summit like a strip club?
No, that's the one in Hillbrow.
Oh.
Summit in Pretoria is like this very smart, there's a lot of BE money there. Bottle service.
And just
bottle service.
Just happens to have the blesses. Same name.
Yeah, a lot of blesses. I know the guy who runs the Summit in Pretoria. It's a restaurant and a club. Very popular.
With lots of BE money.
Big time.
These are the kinds of places big that Jackie Pamozi writes about.
Exactly. And you will see like these guys who you can tell have like a lot of money and they want to show people they have a lot of money. They dress to the nines, they spend. They want to be seen to be spending. A lot of very attractive girls hanging around, just, you know, in case one of these guys is like interested in becoming the blesser. Yeah, that's it. That's probably why it's called the same thing. But who knows? I'm sorry to hear that it's burnt down.
Maybe there's a basement. Do you think there's a basement that has lap dancers?
Mm-mm, not the Pretoria one. No, definitely not. It's very open. It's right next to the highway and there's this pool on the edge of it. And, oh no, it's actually quite smart. I mean, it's not tacky.
I saw that on Twitter last night that there was a fire there.
Gareth, I see lots of activity in your Facebook lately. What happened? I don't know.
Facebook? What really? Kind of activity?
Explain yourself, Carl. I need to know what you're talking about. Herman Mashaba says he would have solved these burning buildings. Yeah. Of course he would have. Like he fixed the city when he had the chance to as mayor. Because he didn't, is the point. Canthan often says Herman Mashaba, who he voted for, was a disappointment. He said actually things ran better under the ANC. Those are Canthan's exact words.
I remember.
Than under Herman. How's that?
I remember.
Sugar says, I was at the CBD last night around 7 o'clock. We saw firefighters. It couldn't be ignored. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's scary, eh? Well, what do you think?
What if they're burning? What if they're like, because there's talk 2 weeks ago of them under collecting. And this, like that number one risk is one of their big ones. What if they're burning stuff in the basement?
What, like records?
Maybe.
Records, well. Maybe they can burn the records of all of us who have properties in Joburg and then we don't have to pay these rates and taxes.
They will never.
How about that?
Maybe. Here's a conspiracy. Maybe they are burning those records and then we have to reevaluate everyone's properties and then everyone's properties like have a 20% bump and we have to pay more.
Well, we just won't because they want to take VAT up. Do you remember they were tabling the idea of raising the VAT? By a percentage or two, and Cyril was warned by many people, if you do this, you're looking for trouble because people cannot.
Do you remember
fuel price is about to go up?
We had this conversation with Canton and Canton's calculation, and I was just like, I don't know if.
I don't think the economy can handle it. If they try to squeeze any more out of people, I don't think they have it. Fuel price is going up next week. which means everything goes up, as we know. I just don't think people have money.
Is it next week?
Do you know, I've never had this many people I know who are in financial distress. In all the time I've been an adult, because I can't remember before then. But since I started working and my friends all started working and people that I'm aware of in the business and, you know, all over the country in different jobs and different kind of levels of employment, different salaries, all kinds of things. I've never known as many people as I do right now who are struggling financially.
Yeah.
Really not making ends meet. And they're selling whatever they can. They're cutting back on everything that was there before. I mean, it's going on. And that's anecdotal, obviously, because these are just experiences that I'm being told about. But I have no reason to disbelieve them. Why would people lie about that? Mm. If anything, people lie and say everything's all right. They're not. They're struggling.
No.
I think people are suffering at the moment.
We're
in the grip of a recession, whether we like it or not. Right, Pums?
For a long time now, we've been speaking about it on the show for a very long time, that the economy, even if people were kind of talking and reporting that, you know, on the edge of a recession under this. But for a long time on this show, we've been talking about how much the economy has been throttled. And any more tax is just going to throttle it even further.
It'll kill it in the crib. It'll be a cot death for the economy. That's what it'll be. All right. They're nice and depressing. So let's move on to something else. You see, I was excited when
I saw the country's feeling like a free state.
Yeah. Well, look, so good morning, Daryl says. So they're going to blame you. No, ANC will say it's the old government's fault, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they do that anyway. The country is feeling like a free state. Here's what you were looking for. This is Lukozi. Says the country is feeling like the free state. If you're not in the tender game, you're probably struggling financially. I think that's right. Those guys I was talking about who hang out at these clubs and restaurants and spend hundreds of thousands of rands on one bottle of champagne, they are not connected to the real economy. And we can't judge the economy by them, right?
No.
Rumors of tax and more petrol increases next month, says Snipes. I would not be able to survive in South Africa financially, says Nikki. It is crazy to see what things cost in South Africa. You're paying EU prices with a shitty salary.
So,
is that right?
Although, remember in June when the rand did after the Lady R scandal, and then the rand dollar.
Oh yeah, the Russian ship
went haywire, which was literally 7 days before I was heading out into the States.
Yeah, it was the worst exchange rate.
And I was watching the
poor you. Most expensive trip you could have taken.
hey, it was bad. But when we were there and just seeing how you can't actually buy anything for a dollar, not even a can of Coke in the States, which is horrifying if you're also doing the conversion to 20 rand in South African terms. But as you know, one of my favorite things and something I have consistently done since the lockdowns is I get all my fruit and veg from the vendors in the city center. And as much as I can, I'll try and buy stuff from small businesses, like my favorite cheese shop in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with 20 rand in the city center, you can buy a pack of potatoes, spinach, and onion and make a meal.
Sounds like a horrible meal. What did you say?
What are you talking about?
Spinach and onion.
Spinach and potatoes. My God, it's one of my favorite things.
Potatoes, yeah.
Spinach and potatoes.
I don't mind spinach. It's the onion.
You don't like spinach.
It's the onion that puts me off.
Ew. Shame. It is one of my favorites.
All right, well,
like a little spinach and butter and
Well, the ANC has defeated a bill that the DA proposed as a cure for cater deployment. ANC adopted a report that scuppered a bill that intended to end cater deployment with the support of the PAC in the National Assembly on Tuesday. Leon Schreibner from the DA introduced the bill in 2021 and on Tuesday said it would be the cure for cater deployment. Sure. Hey, fever.
Bless you.
Anyway.
One more.
Here's what they said. The bill supported by the EFF, IFP, Freedom Front Plus, ACDP, AIC, and Al Jamaa. But the majority ANC had put an end to it with their votes. What do you think? Cater deployment's going to stay. Hooray!
I thought they were heading to the Concorde about that as well, the DA.
Well, you can't head to the Concorde on... You can't appeal a bill that's been defeated.
No, no, no. Then so the bill's been defeated. This is about something else, though, but it is also about catered deployment. Guys.
Tell me more, tell me more.
It was anyway, a little win.
So this is what's happening. So
it is your silly.
I just can't believe that catered deployment is... I love the fact that, by the way, all these parties got together. I don't know why the PAC supported it. Because they probably, how many seats do they even have?
I think they have 2 seats.
2 seats. So it wouldn't have made much difference if they hadn't. But you see, this is why.
Every seat counts. Every seat counts when you're in this. When you're in this situation, every seat counts. When you are the opposition trying to.
The PAC has 1 seat. They have 1 seat. That's all. COPE has 2. COPE has 2. The African Independent Congress, AIC, has 2. And the National Freedom Party has 2. Those are the small parties in the National Assembly.
Ah.
Yeah. But cater deployment is clearly one of the worst things that's happened in South Africa.
Backing up my story about the Concorde.
ANC's gone to the Concorde to stop the release of the list of all the deployed cadres. Oh, wow. So we'll get to see a list.
Well, if, or not.
If, well, they, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we know who are the deployed cadres?
We know the main ones.
No, but we want to know all of them.
We know the
main
ones.
We're going to root them out. Pull them out, root and branch. Network of patronage. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah, but Luzuko, onion and spinach slaps. There you go.
I see.
Do you know that there were riots in India when the price of onions went up?
Really? Riots?
Riots in India. I'm going to find the story for you.
Well,
listen,
Conga Chris agrees with you. He says, Pumi's plan is clever. There is a list of foods that are exempt from VAT. If we all start eating those, it's more of a form of tax revolt.
What are the foods that are exempt from VAT?
Yeah, please give us that list. Forget about the cater list for the moment. Let's have that list. All right. Okay. Let's go. I just think we should know who's on the list of deployed caters. We should know who. So when we deal with these people, we could say, oh, so you're a cater who's been deployed.
Do you know who was? I've told you this before.
And where they are and which companies. Because a lot of these corporates are sheltering these people too because they've got a relationship with government. Remember we spoke about this. Collusion.
And I have told you this before. Do you know who was in charge of cadre deployment right through Jacob Zuma's tenure?
Tell
us. Dun, dun. I need a drum roll.
Okay, well, I'm not
going. You don't have a drum roll.
Go on.
Cyril Ramaphosa.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, well, I'm not surprised. Now, this came out, we should really save this for the burning platform, but did you get this missive on one of your WhatsApp groups about what happened in the meeting with Thabo Mbeki?
No.
Ooh, do you want to hear?
It might have come through. I was on a shoot yesterday, so I didn't see much of my
So let me
WhatsApp
read this to you.
Groups.
Again, I'm not going to reveal my sources, but...
I will.
This is how it starts, and I can tell this is probably from a person inside the ANC because the spelling and grammar is atrocious. But I'll read it as is, okay? You make of it what you will. Thabo Mbeki left NEC meeting with tail between his legs. I'm privileged to know the outcome of the meeting where they summoned Thabo Mbeki following his much-trending scathing letter to Paul Mashatile. They call him Paulos Mashatile.
Hey, ke Paulos, what else?
Right. Following is what happened. Now you say it's old, but listen. He was welcomed by Paulos, introduced the letter matter. Mbeki then inquired about the presence of some other people. Balula emphasized ukuti they are stakeholders by virtue of being business gurus. Mbeki was allowed to make a follow-up on the letter. He did so boldly. He attacked Cyril big time and blamed the ANC for protecting him. This is after Palapala. Right? You haven't heard this or you have? Okay, here it goes. He did not foresee what was to come. They attacked like wolves. I will summarize. Balula said, leadership, you are the last person to talk about Palapala. This is him addressing Thabo. We covered you on the arms deal mess. We sacrificed Zuma on you and Lakota's behalf. You made billions out of the arms deal. We can unseal your wife's bank statements. Who do you think you are to attack President Ramaphosa? Is this disinformation?
Aibo.
Listen.
This.
You think it's nonsense?
You think it's
rubbish? No. I mean, I'm just reading what I saw here. We will release your shenanigans to the SIU and media at large. Lamola then said, we'll clean you out. We'll destroy you politically. And
they would never.
If you touch President Ramaphosa, we will institute a commission inquiry.
I think this is disinformation.
Listen. Let's hear anything about your rubbish again. Batoy will be on your case. Please, she's on no one's case. So that's not a threat.
I think this is disinformation. I don't know.
Really?
Now I want to check my WhatsApp groups to see.
Mashatile then said, stop playing to the gallery, please, or I will make you a second Marashule.
Never. They would never. They would never. For how long has... I mean, never. They would never. I don't believe it.
I want to know who those cadres are. I want to know which companies in this country have a cadre on their board who is put there for the singular purpose of influencing the company negatively from a government point of view or channeling information between the two so that there can be collusion. And the only people who lose from that collusion will be the people of this country. I want to know.
Gareth, you don't need to see any kind of cater list.
I think so.
I'm telling you now, all you need to do, we know the key ones. We know the key
ones. But I want to know who the other ones who are inside these businesses are. I think those are the important, that's the fulcrum of where the collusion happens.
I think that the collusion doesn't happen like that anymore. But it used to. I think that. There are many people who are propping up the ANC in business and they have the direct line to the president. Hmm. It doesn't have to be some underling in an NEC whatever. It doesn't have to be that.
You don't think so?
No, it doesn't have to be that. Because that's where the real power and the real influence is. You know, so when you have, and I don't know if you saw Clayson Monyala. If you saw his tweet last night about South Africa hosting the 20th AGOA conference.
No.
In 2 months. So that's fascinating, because when there was, you know, after the Lady R issue, when there was like a ticking of where we stand with the AGOA, who does Cyril Ramaphosa send off in a delegation to the US? He sends a whole lot of business people. Who does Cyril Ramaphosa currently has 20 different special... special envoys. He has 20 different ones who all are not MPs, are not, you know, they're not voted for. It is his group of people that he believes are going to be able to work directly with the ministry. He even has a chief red ribbon cutter, not red ribbon, but yeah, cutter, right? And all of those people come from business. Cyril Ramaphosa has got, and he keeps consolidating power into his office.
The investment envoys are Phumzile Langeni, Jeff Radebe, Derek Harnikom, Babisi Jonas, Trevor Manuel, Jaco Maria, and others.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to know that list too. All you're doing is opening up new areas that I want lists from. Oh my God. You know, I feel like the only thing we could do. I feel like sometimes the only thing that we could do to really rid the rot of this is
vote in new people.
Yeah, but I mean, like.
Red tape cutter.
We need to build a new prison just for all the bad people that we need to put in there that are not currently in prison.
Right?
Accountability. Let's have it. Congo Chris says, bring out the guillotines. I drove past Cyril's house yesterday. The state of his perimeter wall is a reflection of the state of this country. Jesus, says propaganda.
Really? What's wrong with his perimeter wall?
Probably a mess. Here's how you solve all of our problems. If service delivery doesn't happen or if load shedding goes past stage two, no ministers get paid. These guys, the salary is not where they're getting their money. I don't know if that's going to help. I mean, it would be a good start, right?
So if you got a list, what would you do with the list?
First we'll spread it around.
And like your WhatsApp about I haven't
spread that to anyone. I'm sharing it with you and a couple of people who are listening.
Listen, because I spoke to you guys about the WhatsApp group that's got the fascist admin.
Yes. What happened on your WhatsApp group? Is it still going?
It is. I'm still in the WhatsApp group. I'm never leaving that group.
And you don't make a noise. You get like banned or anything. You just quietly watch. Okay. You're an observer. You're a lurker. You're a lurker for me. That's what you are.
I am never leaving that group.
There are lurkers on social media who just watch what's going on.
But yesterday, this is the other funny, very funny thing that got me thinking. These WhatsApp groups, guys, they are a pandemic. But Dennis Bloom, you know, Dennis Bloom used to be the spokesperson of COPE.
That's right.
And he left COPE.
Yeah.
In a huff.
Yes.
Might I say, 2 months ago.
Who hasn't left COPE in a huff?
Musiwa Lekot.
He's the only guy left in COPE. Really?
They've got two seats. They've got two seats in Parliament.
So it's so him and him, one of his friends who
there
he probably
at least two of
he
them.
Probably swaps them out every now. Wait, Willie Madisha.
Is Willie still there?
Willie Madisha, I think he's still there.
So but this also made me laugh so hard. A journalist that we both know, Andy Makinana. Remember we went with her?
Sure.
She tweeted about this WhatsApp group that used to be the COPE media list, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So all of these journalists are on there, and this is where COPE used to send out all of their statements. And being the spokesperson, Dennis was the admin. Dennis has now left COPE. He is still the admin of the SID group. And now he's just tweeting his own, he's just like sending his own stuff. I don't know what he's up to now, but I think he's probably like building something of his own. And he seems to be sending blips of stuff on there. So Andy tweets about this, says he's very petty, Dennis.
But what's he putting on there?
He's owning the WhatsApp group.
So he's taken it over. He's in charge of that WhatsApp
group. He's left with the WhatsApp group.
I wonder how much WhatsApp groups are actually...
Clement Manyatela also tweets back to say, listen, I actually phoned him this morning to ask, Chief, are you back at COPE or what's going on? Because...
Was it dormant for a while? Tell you what, there are some very interesting WhatsApp groups in this country. Pumi's on most of them.
I'm not on most of them.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm on one very interesting one.
Mm. Can we just quickly, before we get to Lynn Jaffe, let's just talk about the Thabo Bester saga, because there's something else going on there that you want to talk about. And we haven't spoken about this for a couple of weeks now.
And this is the Chief Kuningia.
Mm. Go on.
The Chief Kuningia. Did you see? So they had the court appearance a couple of weeks ago.
How does Nandipa look so good in court all the time? Who's helping her with makeup? Because she's in jail, right?
Even Rosemary Ndlovu always used to look so hot when she came on.
Who's under there that's doing like hair and makeup? There's a whole team, like TV show.
No, surely in the women's prison, they have like... Because what else do they do? They've got all this time on their hands. And braiding each other's hair, all of that. But when Nandipa and Thabo came on in one of the hearings for the first time together, and they sat next to each other, and I mean, it made everybody go like crazy, because they, you know, she was all so shy and they were so cute and they were like laughing with each other. And ENCA had a body language specialist on.
Yeah.
Who came to give her view of what the body language was and what it meant and what she felt or read through all of that body language. And then 2 weeks ago, it surfaces that this woman isn't even a body language specialist.
Oh, wow. So like the sign language person who we had at the World Cup.
At the Madiba funeral.
Madiba funeral. Sorry, it was the Madiba funeral.
And this woman is also just out here bullshitting her way through.
Oh, there's a lot of, you know what?
Kuningi.
Kuningi, there's a lot happening in this country. There's never a dull day. One of the things that we said we were going to do today, and I'm thrilled that she's available to talk to us before she jets off to Sweden. We're going to speak to Lynn Jaffe. She's going to represent South Africa in Sweden at the Gothenburg Book Fair. She's one of five authors attending. The others are Zeksmda, Ntabiseng Jaros Jafta, Refilwe Moahloli, and Sitle Isipo Nonchokweni. And they're all off to Sweden. For this is quite a prestigious thing. If you're a writer, this is actually the thing that you want to be at. So, hey, Lynn, how are you?
Hey, Gareth. I'm excited beside myself, beyond myself.
So your book is called The Gospel According to Wanderby Lazarus, and the guest of honor is the Jewish Institute of Sweden. So obviously Jewish culture is going to be at the – obviously, you know, it's just – we've just had the Jewish New Year. We've got Yom Kippur coming up. Are you going to have to miss all of that because you're going to Sweden?
I think I'm fasting on the plane.
Oh, okay. Well, how convenient. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. With airplane food, it's actually perfect.
What a lovely situation for you. That's actually so, like, you killed two birds with one stone there. Now you're going to present a seminar on the main program, and you have been doing a survey of South African Jewish authors in preparation for this to find out if there is a homogenous Jewish culture in South Africa. This is such an interesting topic. And it's only one of the things that you guys will be doing there. I mean, you'll be traveling with some, you know, Zeksmda. Pumi and I were talking about Zeks just now. Just such an incredible author. And Pumi says he's very funny on Twitter too. So what's your plan here? And what can you tell us? What can you share with us before you go and share it with Sweden?
Okay, so thank you very much for the opportunity. And hi, Pums. I can't believe I can see you here today.
Yeah.
Hello, Lynn.
Love Lynn's glasses. Look at Lynn's glasses. They're great. There you
well,
go.
It's because I spent my entire childhood with Coke bottle tops. So it's, you know, thank the Germans. I really thank the Germans. My entire medical aid on my face.
Brilliant.
Gareth, so there are three streams or themes for Gothenburg this year. Last year it was South Africa. So we were very much in the guest of honor, as you'd call it. This year the guest of honor is Jewish culture. Mm. So, you know, an accident of birth, I think, perhaps because the book is about a Jewish character who wanders through the ages. It's extremely transgressive. I have to tell you about the Stephen Fry shot, as you well know. So I think that it became prominent in itself. And then because they would have to have had a Jewish author, look at this play.
Well, good.
Well, I mean, I didn't know Zakes was a nice Jewish boy. I'm kidding, Zakes. So I've actually helped with a program now for the South African stand, which is going to be children's authors, Zakes and myself, under the baobab, which is real fun. Apparently the stand is going to be a baobab tree. And because storytelling is what unifies our diversity, right, we can all kind of work in the same hood. I'm not sure if that's similar in other countries, but you know how diverse we are. Mm. So I'm taking Wanda. And I'm also taking my Stingray Charles book, The Tale of Stingray Charles, which we wrote about a year ago, 10 years ago. And I'm going onto the children's platform as well. So I'm going to be all over the place. I must just say that because Zakes and the three wise women, as I call them, we've been connecting for about the last 3-4 weeks. And it's absolutely amazing. It's almost like being allowed in the front door. I've been a great gatecrasher all my life, as people who know me know. I don't know what I'm going to do by being allowed into the room, you know.
I see you around because you are someone who is – you're also always observing what's going on in society. And I think the interesting thing here to me is, like, what do we know about South African Jewish culture? Is it homogenous? You've spoken to a lot of authors. Obviously, the Jewish population in South Africa has dwindled to an all-time low. But what do we know about it?
About 50,000 people here.
Yeah, it's tiny. It's tiny,
well, it's,
right, Lynn?
Yeah, apparently it's a third of what it was in the 70s, as far as I understand. What's interesting about the survey was, I mean, here's a cliche for all you Yiddles out there. Two Jews in a room have got an argument. You know, Gareth, you must have some genetics somewhere down the line. And
two
as well.
Jews in a room, you have five opinions. What are you talking about?
Yes, and two synagogues, one of which you'll never go to. So we're a combative race within, and in fact, apparently you're not allowed to say race or ethnicity anymore. Oh. It's a cultural thing. And I was reminded yesterday by my great friend Steph that we have a Jewish literary festival. We have gatherings, Limud, which I've been to 2 weeks ago, which is a learning platform where everybody's welcome because we are very inclusive.
Right.
But the people who I spoke to mostly said, no, we're not. There isn't. So, for example, in South Africa at the moment, for example, crime is like our highest book kind of space. There are very few Jewish people doing crime novels, but there are a lot nonfiction. You'll take your Jonathan Answers and the boys and the girls who write nonfiction, and then of course there's a lot of memoir in the country. But I'm yet to find. And we actually had a seminar a couple of days ago with David Medali and Diane Auerbach, who's in fact calls herself Goshen, which is kind of like. Not quite Jewish because the father was and the mother wasn't, so that you know you can't even get an answer.
But I do understand that what we do have in our Jewish community here in South Africa is a lot of them come from Lithuania, because one of the reasons we did used to have such a big Jewish population here was because of the pogroms in Poland. That's when a whole lot of Jewish people left. And the two places they went to, depending on which boat you got onto, was either South Africa or Chicago.
Well, okay, so I'm not going to give you a history lesson. It's actually more from so there was a Pale of Settlement, which was done by Catherine the Great, that herded the Jews into almost township lagery type of situations. Then you had the pogroms, and I discovered I was a Litvak. Heaven forbid, I didn't know, because I went to the reform movement, which was more lefty wingy, and women could go to the Torah, and we were sort of treated with equal rights. And then I married a very religious Jew and was told to go to the back of the shul, and I went, what back? I didn't know there was a back of the shul. So, you know, bring in the baby feminist and blow it all up. But there is a sense in which I don't know, because it embarrasses me to a certain extent, because I don't like come out as Jewish. I mean, I'm wearing a mug and David here. Apparently you can't wear them in Europe anymore.
Really?
There's anti-Semitism. Well, I've spoken to a few people.
Sure, that's horrific.
You know, the anti-Semitism in Europe. You've seen what's happened in the States. Now, the book that I wrote was actually about the Wandering Jew, which is an anti-Semitic glyph invented in the Middle Ages by monks in St. Albans, who said, we killed their Lord and we didn't give Jesus a drink at the cross. And I started this as a memoir. And then I thought, what if the temple that he had me in my Me Too moment back in the 70s, what if the temple was not Temple Shalom, but the temple? And suddenly a character emerged who was immortal, because Jesus did curse someone at the cross and say, I will go on, but you will remain, which then allows us to be completely immortal. And so my character was accidentally made immortal by Rav Yossi, as I call him. And so I've looked at 2,000 years. I mean, I wrote it for an MA, but I looked at kind of 2,000 years of history, a lot of research and then a lot of imagination, because the further back in history you go, the more you can kind of make up as you go along. So when I came to the South African chapter, I actually had Wanda, my character, meeting Nelson Mandela at Temple Emmanuel, which really did happen, except Wanda doesn't exist. And I was warned in a way, don't put words in the mouth of Mandela. You can't do it as recently as people's memory goes. So I actually, in fact, removed the chapter completely. But the whole book is a satire of society as it is here, as it probably is in a lot of places, and the places that Wanda gets up to, sexually charged, freewheeling musician, not at all based on me. Somebody said, you miswrote. Well, she was myopic, but they didn't invent spectacles until, in fact, Nero used to look through emeralds, because you know that things refract through glass. Yeah. He used to actually have. I left my emerald glasses at home.
Oh, but okay.
He would actually.
Those are quite. Those are everybody. Everybody should have emerald glasses like Nero. Everybody. I mean, why the hell not?
And a fiddle.
So you could play while Rome burns. which, by the way, is not true. That's a very nasty calumny invented against poor old Nero. he wasn't fiddling while Rome burnt. And it's not entirely true to say that while it burnt, he was already planning his new house, the Domus Aurea, in the ruins of what was left, you know, so he could scrape them out.
You know, and can you see the analogy? Because everything in history that happens has happened before in a way. So I think I used the word fire pool once, which would be a South African kind of reference. But if you don't know what a fire pool was, you could still get the idea.
Yeah.
So there were, in fact, and I mean, it is Euclid, so I can say this now. An old boyfriend phoned me when the book came out, a very old boyfriend, and said, Lenny, am I in the book? And I said, yes, but I've given you a very small penis. which is apparently the go-to if you ever do write a memoir about people and they can't sue you then because, you know, no one's going to confess to that. So there, I mean, even Rasputin, who she actually meets in the 1916s, I've experimented with, you know, there's a lot of books about the male gaze and a lot of the stuff that came from the Spanish Golden Age, which is where I got the idea of a picaresque novel, which is a low life character who never really grows, who moves from place to place. So she had
Cyril
to develop. So, look, well, you see, well, Wanda does cross dress a lot. I've never sort of imagined Cyril in fishnets, but
well,
you know, it
you
could
never
work.
Know, huh?
No, none of us should ever imagine Cyril in fishnets.
It's actually quite men in tights is quite a thing. You should ask Lizzie sometime. But anyhow, so what I did was I went and I looked back at this sort of, if you want to call it the academic or historical aspect of what the Wandering Jew was, because much of the anti-Semitism that's happening today, you can almost trace back to the way it's almost like in the history of mankind, the Jews have been the go-to scapegoats for everything. We poisoned wells, we ate babies on Pesach.
They made all kinds of horrendous stories up. And it's like someone once said to me, haven't your people suffered enough? You know, it's absolutely true that this always becomes in any situation like, who can we blame? Oh, look, there are the Jews. So we know this is an ongoing thing. And anti-Semitism is on the rise in America. It's on the rise in Europe. Again, we thought we'd learned our lessons, right?
I think the irony for me, having written it, I'm not saying I'm prophetic or anything, but because I wrote about anti-Semitism in a rollicking, serial comic way, it's taken me 3 years now. You'll be the first person to know outside my immediate family, I found myself an international agent based on, I went to a virtual conference and I re-shticked my... what they call it, I re-shticked my pitch. And I said, this is really a book for today because anti-Semitism is on the rise, which it wasn't as much when I wrote it 5 years ago. And so, and any author out there is like, you know, diamonds are forever and so is a novel in a way. So I think that, in fact, the irony is that I think that I was invited to this because of the children's book because I did so much work in the space of multicultural languages.
I hope that Jeremy Corbyn will read it in the UK, and I hope that all the lefties in America will read it because that's where the anti-Semitism is coming from now.
Well, I'm actually meeting my agent in Gothenburg about 10 days after the fair to hand over some books and meet her because she's American.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's I don't know if it's resilience or just plain pig-headedness that because South African publishing is a little bit of a bubble if you've ever published a book to get it out of the country unless you are Stephen Fry, who doesn't live here. So it's actually almost like a rebirth or a renaissance of the book.
All right, so when do you leave? When do you leave for this festival?
Monday afternoon, which is just as Yom Kippur comes out. So I could actually break my fast, to be frank.
Okay. Well, you can avoid the aeroplane food and enjoy your trip and then land on the other side and probably have some pickled fish or something in Sweden.
Definitely pickled fish.
All right. Well, listen, go ahead with all the blessings and all the love. And I hope that you have lots of fun over there and tell the rest of them, including Zakes, when you get back, we want to speak to you about what happened.
I told you I'm not his agent, but I'm sure he would be more willing. He does actually, he lives in Ohio, so he commutes.
Okay, but he's here from time to time.
He's here now.
Okay. He's here now. He could be listening as we speak.
Well, you never know. Lynn, good luck. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, there's Lynn Joffe, everybody. Lovely to see you. It is just about 7 o'clock. She's fantastic.
I love that she re-shticked her pitch.
I know. That's a good way to put it, right? Re-shtick your pitch. Nice.
Oh, but there is a long history of Jewish people in South Africa. And we've spoken about Milton Shane, whom I met for the first time a couple of weeks ago. And he wrote a book called The History of Jews in South Africa, which is, if you're interested, quite a fascinating book.
It is. Like anything else about this country, when you dig down deep enough, you find it is complex and fascinating and interesting at many levels.
I don't even but think you have to dig that deep.
Well,
just scratch the
but
surface.
But you have to have a little bit of curiosity, because so much of what we do in this country is we kind of assume everything is obvious, right? And we jump to the most simple conclusion. Sometimes it's not always the way it is. Anyway, great to see Lynn. And we will
her
be.
Glasses.
And her glasses. Those glasses are great. We'll be back with The Burning Platform next. That's coming up with none other than Rob Hutchinson and our own Bakabantu Gaga.
Very excited to have Bucks back in the studio.
Okay. All right.
Love it when he's
here.
May
regret that. You may learn to regret that.
I love it when he's here.
All right. Well, that's all coming up next. CliffCentral.com.